ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम दी भगवद गीता चैप्टर 10। द चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड दी ऑप्युलेंस ऑफ दी एब्सोल्यूट एंड वी आर गोइंग टू रीड टेक्स्ट 20 through 23। वी हैव द टेक्स्ट 20 रिटन ऑन द बोर्ड, सो वी विल रिसाइट इट ऑल टुगेदर। अहम आत्मा गुडाकेश सर्वभूताशय स्थित अहम आदिश्च मध्यम च भूतानामन्त एव च। ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन। आई एम द सुपर सोल ओ अर्जुन सीटेड इन द हार्ट्स ऑफ ऑल लिविंग एंटिटीज। आई एम द बिगिनिंग द मिडिल एंड द एंड ऑफ ऑल बीइंग्स। परपोर्ट। इन दिस वर्स अर्जुन इज अड्रेस्ड एज गुडाकेश विच मीन्स one who has conquered the darkness of sleep. For those who are sleeping in the darkness of ignorance, it is not possible to understand how the Supreme Personality of Godhead manifests himself in various ways in the material and spiritual worlds. Thus, this address by Krishna to Arjuna is significant. Because Arjuna is above such darkness, the personality of Godhead agrees to describe his various opulences. Krishna first informs Arjuna that he is the soul of the entire cosmic manifestation by dint of his primary expansion. Before the material creation, the Supreme Lord, by his plenary expansion, accepts the Purusha incarnations, and from him everything begins. Therefore, he is Atma, the soul of the Mahatattva, the universal elements. The total material energy is not the cause of the creation. Actually, the Mahavishnu enters into the Mahatattva, the total material energy. He is the soul. When Mahavishnu enters into the manifested universes, he again manifests himself as the super soul in each and every living entity. We have experienced that the personal body of the living entity exists due to the presence of the spiritual spark. Without the existence of the spiritual spark, the body cannot develop. Similarly, the material manifestation cannot develop unless the Supreme Soul, Krishna, enters. As stated in the Subal Upanishad, Prakrityadi sarva bhutantaryami sarva sheshi cha narayana. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is existing as a super soul in all manifested universes. The three Purushavatars are described in Srimad Bhagavatam. They are also described in the Satvata Tantra. Vishnostu Trini Rupani Purushakhyanyatho Vidu. The Supreme Personality of Godhead manifests three features as Karanodakashai Vishnu, Garbhodakashai Vishnu and Kshirodakashai Vishnu in this material manifestation. The Mahavishnu or Karanodakashai Vishnu is described in Brahma Samhita 547. Ya Karanaranava Jale Bhajatisma Yoga Nidram. The Supreme Lord Krishna, the cause of all causes, lies down in the cosmic ocean as Mahavishnu. Therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the beginning of this universe, the maintainer of the universal manifestations, and the end of all energy. We'll also read the other texts. Adityanam aham Vishnur Jyotisham Raviram Shuman Marichir Marutamasmi Nakshatranam aham Shashi. Of the Adityas I am Vishnu, of lights I am the radiant sun. Of the Maruts, I am Marichi, and among the stars, I am the moon. Vedanam sama vedosmi devanam asmi vasava, indriyanam manaschasmi bhutanam asmi chetana. Of the Vedas, I am the Samaved. Of the demigods, I am Indra, the king of heaven. Of the senses, I am the mind. And in the living beings, I am the living force, consciousness. Rudranam shankarashchasmi vittesho yaksharakshasam vasunam pavakashchasmi merushikharinamaham. Of all the Rudras, I am Lord Shiva. Of the yakshas and rakshasas, I am the Lord of wealth, Kuvera. Of the Vasus, I am fire, Agni. And of mountains, I am Meru. Hare Krishna. So before I begin, I would like to seek the blessings of all the devotees present here so that I can speak on this most confidential subject of the Bhagavad Gita. So here we are discussing the 10th chapter of the Gita, and the chapter is entitled The Opulence of the Absolute. So in this chapter we see that Krishna is going to describe various ways how we can perceive him in this material world, how we can feel his presence in various aspects of this material world. People talk about seeing God everywhere and maintaining that universal harmony among various religions and various sects. And this is the main philosophy that they propound, that we should see God in everyone and we should see God everywhere. God is ultimately one. But how to see God everywhere, and what is the technique of seeing his presence, feeling his presence everywhere, that Krishna is describing here in this chapter of the Gita. So from verse 20 onwards, for the next 20 to 22 verses, Krishna is going to describe this technique of how we can perceive him in various elements, in various features of this world and of the universe. So in the first verse we see that he is saying, Aham Atma Gudakesha. I am the super soul, O Arjuna, seated in the hearts of all living beings. I am the beginning, end, and the middle portion of all living beings. So we see that the Vedic religion, or more popularly which is known as the Hinduism, is mainly accused of being pantheistic. Pantheistic means they don't have one God. They worship any stone, any person, any tree, any mountain. Everything they worship. And other major religions in the world, we see that they worship only one God. And that's why most people don't consider Hinduism as a bona fide religion. These people, they feel, are crazy. If you put a stone somewhere with a red kumkum powder and a garland, the next day you will find a big queue standing in front of them and offering worship and offering prayers, considering it to be God. So this is the main accusation against the Vedic culture, that you people don't worship one person. And the so-called propounders of the Hindu religion, they feel this is the all-encompassing aspect of the religion. We tolerate everything, we accept everyone, and this philosophy of being able to worship everyone and anything allows us to be secular and accept everyone, all kinds of worshippers, all kinds of people. With any idea of God, we welcome everyone. So therefore, they accept, they consider this is a broad-minded feature of Hinduism, that we allow everyone and anyone to worship anything. But Krishna in the Gita doesn't encourage this kind of worship. He here in this section of the Gita is telling us the art of feeling his presence in every aspect of the creation. That doesn't mean he's saying that we should start worshipping everything and anything. Now, in the next verse we saw how he's saying, of the Adityas I am Vishnus, of lights I am the radiant sun, of the Maruts I am Marichi, and among the stars I am the moon. Of all the Rudras, I am Lord Shiva. Of the Yakshas and Rakshasas, I am the Lord of Wealth. So now he is explaining to us how in different features, among all luminaries, he is saying, I am the sun. Now there are so many luminaries in the universe, so many shining elements, shining planets. Now among all luminaries, which one stands out the most? That is the sun, right? So the best among any category, Krishna says, that is me. So sun, among all luminaries, is the brightest and the most powerful. So therefore, sun represents Krishna best. In the future, we will see among the mountains, he is the Himalayas. Now there are so many mountain ranges on this planet. The Sahyadris, the Vindhyas, the Appalachian Mountains, so many mountains all over the world. But which ranges of mountains stands out the most? The most powerful, the biggest, the largest, that's the Himalayas. So therefore, Himalayan mountain ranges represent Krishna the best. Or Krishna says, I am the Himalayas. He also says, among the animals, so many animals are there. Among all animals, he is the lion. The lion is known as the king of the jungle, right? So, king of the jungle means he is the most. That animal is the most powerful among all the animals. Therefore, that animal represents Krishna. A similar kind of series of verses also appear in the 7th chapter, where Krishna is telling us the art of how to perceive him. He says, Rasoham of Sukaunte, I am the taste of water. I am the strength among the strong. I am the seed of all living entities. So we have to, because we are not on the stage of able to see God everywhere, we need these kind of techniques. Otherwise we will see everything disconnected from God. And then we will not be able to engage our facilities and our resources in the service of the Lord. So when we understand how each and every creation is connected to Krishna, connected to God, then we can see his presence everywhere, and then we can engage all our resources, all our facilities at our disposal in his loving service. Therefore, this section of the Gita is very important. So that we start finding we start perceiving the spiritual nature of every substance. Otherwise, we see everything as dead matter. And we might utilize each and everything in our own selfish sense gratification. And since the whole movement of Krishna consciousness is based on converting this selfish nature into selfless loving service, we need desperately this knowledge of being able to see Krishna's presence everywhere. Now in the purport, Prabhupada is bringing out various features. Aham Atma Gudakesha. He says, I am the soul of everything, of every living being. Now, we know that the body is temporary, body is made up of dead matter, atoms and molecules. And what makes the dead matter alive is the presence of the soul. Similarly, this whole universal creation is a huge mass of dead matter. And it appears to be alive just because there is a similar soul. Just like this body is inhabited with a soul, we, the self. Similarly, this universe is also considered as a huge body. And the soul of that universe is considered as, Krishna is saying, as he himself. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Bhagavan ki, Jai Gaur Nitai ki, Shri Gopal ji ki. So this universe is so systematic and so organized and is moving so accurately because of the presence of the Supreme Soul that is animating this whole creation. And Krishna is saying that he, in the form of Mahavishnu, his plenary expansion, is the super soul, is a soul that is animating this creation, this whole universal creation. Just as a small soul, an infinitesimal part and parcel of Krishna, the spirit, small spirit soul, is animating this material bodies of all living entities. Another feature that Prabhupada is pointing out, or Krishna himself is pointing out, is he is addressing Arjuna as Gudakesh. Gudakesh means one who has conquered sleep. Now, since we are trying to understand this subject matter of the Gita, we also need to conquer the darkness of ignorance. Sleep is considered as representing the mode of ignorance. In sleep, we forget everything. We forget who we are, we forget our surroundings, we forget our identity, we forget everything about ourselves, our qualifications, our degrees, everything. We are in total ignorance. So Arjuna is called as Gudakesh because there is a small story behind it. When he was a small child and practicing the martial arts under his guru, Dronacharya, he used to practice shooting arrows even in the night. He could shoot targets even in darkness. Once he was taking his food in the night, in the darkness, and he was able to put his morsel of food in the mouth without the help of any light. So then he started wondering, if I can eat food without the help of light, why can't I practice in darkness? So that's how he started practicing in darkness, shooting arrows at invisible targets. So therefore he came to be known as Gudakesh. So therefore Krishna is addressing him here as Gudakesh, one who has conquered sleep. So Prabhupada is bringing out the point that for those who are sleeping in the darkness of ignorance, it is not possible to understand how the Supreme Personality of Godhead manifests himself in various ways in the material and spiritual worlds. So now that we are trying to understand this, Krishna's presence everywhere, we also need to come out of the darkness of material illusion. And then we can perceive his presence everywhere. So that's one another important point that Prabhupada is bringing out here. The next part he is addressing in the purport is the total material creation. The whole creation, the whole universe, the whole material creation is consisting of millions of universes. Our universe is considered to be a very small part of the whole creation. And there are similar other universes. And all these universes are said to be emanating from the pores of the body of Mahavishnu. And Mahavishnu happens to be one expansion of the original personality of Godhead, Krishna. So from his pores, these universes are coming out. And in each universe, known as Brahmanda, that is egg-shaped under, Brahmanda, it is egg-shaped. So within each universe, there is one predominating deity called another expansion of Mahavishnu, that is Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, as he is pointing out in the purport. From the navel of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu arises a lotus flower on whom the original living being of the universe, Lord Brahma, takes birth. Garbhodakshayi again expands into the third Vishnu, known as Kshirodakshayi Vishnu. And Kshirodakshayi Vishnu's expansions are the Paramatma that is residing in the heart of every living entity. He is the cause of remembrance, knowledge and forgetfulness. As Krishna points out in the later chapters, that from him comes remembrance, knowledge and forgetfulness. So the Paramatma feature residing in the heart of every living entity. The Upanishads compare the body into body with a tree. A tree consists of, this tree consists of two birds. The living entity, who is trying to enjoy various facilities of this world. He is enjoying them and at the same time suffering also. Dualities. And there is another bird who is residing just beside him and watching all the activities of this living entity. He is simply witnessing and facilitating the enjoyment of the first bird, the soul. And according to his desires, he supplies the necessities. Sometimes good, sometimes bad. Sweet fruits, bitter fruits. So Paramatma is simply watching. And is wondering, when this person is going to look at me? When is he going to turn his face towards me? So that I can help him come towards me. So that is an expansion of Kshirodakshayi Vishnu. So the Upanishad says, Vishnostu trini rupani purushakhyanyato vidu ekam tu mahatasrashtar dvitiyam tondasamsitam. Ekam tu mahatasrashtar, that is the first, the Mahavishnu, the original one from whom the universe is expanded. Dvitiyam tondasamsitam, this refers to the Garbhodakshayi Vishnu. A little technical, you may find it a little difficult to understand, but there is a big advantage. The second one is Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, who is the chief living entity within each universe, from whom Lord Brahma is born. Tritiyam sarvabhutastam, sarvabhutastam, sarvabhutashayastita, we see here, who is residing in the heart of each and every living entity. That is Kshirodakshayi Vishnu. Tani gyatva vimuchyate, one who understands these three Vishnus becomes liberated from the clutches of Maya. By understanding these three features of the Lord regarding the creation, the whole universal creation, one who understands these three features becomes liberated from the three modes of material nature, the laws that is running and binding this world. The Brahma Samhita also gives reference to these three Vishnus, as Prabhupada is pointing out. Yah karanarnavajale bhajatisma yoga nidram ananta jagadanda saroma kupa. This is again referring to Mahavishnu, who is lying in the causal ocean and lying down in his yoga nidra position and is relaxing, and then universes are coming out. So just by his exhalation, all the universes come out. And the duration of each universe is equal to one breath of Mahavishnu. When he inhales, all these universes are sucked in. And they go into the unmanifested state. So the duration of one whole universe, which comes to around 311 trillion, so many billions of years, that is just one breath, one small breath of Mahavishnu. So we can understand how inconceivably large, huge is Mahavishnu. God is the greatest, he is the infinite, he is unlimited. So when we understand these features of the Lord, then we understand the real meaning of God is great. Otherwise, God is great simply remains imaginary understanding. How God is great, we can understand from the Gita. ఆదిత్యానాం అహం విష్ణుర్ జ్యోతిషాం రవిరంశమాన్. ఆఫ్ ది ఆదిత్యాస్ ఐఎమ్ విష్ణు, ఆఫ్ లైట్స్ ఐఎమ్ ద రేడియంట్ సన్. ద సన్ సచ్ ఎ పవర్ఫుల్ లుమినరీ ఈజ్ జస్ట్ కన్సిడర్డ్ టు బి ఎన్ ఎక్స్పాన్షన్, వన్ ఆఫ్ హిస్ పార్షియల్ ఆపులెన్స్ ఆఫ్ ద సుప్రీం లార్డ్. అమంగ్ ద స్టార్స్ ఐఎమ్ ద మూన్. Regarding this Vishnu and Krishna, people in India generally have a big, sometimes a little different understanding. Many people wonder how, who is the original, Krishna or the Vishnu? People many times ask this question. You people seem to be saying that Krishna is the origin of everything, but what we have heard is that Vishnu is the one who takes incarnations. Krishna is one of the 10 incarnations, the 8th incarnation. And Vishnu is the original one. But here, after coming to Hare Krishna, you people are saying that Vishnu is an incarnation. Vishnu is an expansion of Krishna. So as we understand here from this verse of the Vishnu, of the Satvata Tantra, Vishnu Stutri Nirupani, Krishna is the original. He expands into Balaram. Balaram then expands into the Chaturvyuha, the quadruple expansions known as Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna and Aniruddha. From this Sankarshan expands a feature called as Narayan. This Narayan again expands into the second quadruple expansion, again known as Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna and Aniruddha. And this Sankarshan expands into Mahavishnu. So we understand, from Krishna original to Mahavishnu, there are so many other expansions. And this Mahavishnu again, Garbhodaka Shaya Vishnu, Kshirodaka Shaya Vishnu. And this, the third Vishnu, Kshirodaka Shaya Vishnu, is the one who takes on various incarnations in this material world. So it is not wrong to say that Vishnu incarnates. Because for a particular universe, it's Vishnu that incarnates, takes on various incarnations. But we have to understand how Vishnu is originating from Krishna. The Brahma Samhita compares Vishnu and Krishna and all other incarnations to various candles. Imagine there is a candle that is lighted up. And we use this candle to light up various other candles. Right? Now each candle has the same potency and same power. So the original candle is used to light up the other candles. And all other candles have the same power as the original. But although each and every candle has the same power, the original candle still retains its uniqueness. It remains the original. We call it the original one, the original source. Right? So each and every incarnation of Krishna or Vishnu has the same potency, same power, has the same unlimited features. But still, we understand that Krishna is the original candle, from whom all other candles, all other incarnations are coming out. So that's how there is this is a distinction between Krishna and Vishnu. Scriptures also explain some additional qualities that we find in Krishna but not find in Vishnu. Prabhupada, in his book called as The Nectar of Devotion, brings out the various qualities of Krishna. It is said that there are 64 primary main qualities of Krishna. And a living entity has approximately 50, right? 50 qualities. Lord Shiva, 55. Lord Brahma has 55. Lord Shiva has 55 qualities. And Lord Vishnu has 60 qualities. Krishna is the only one who has 4 additional qualities that are not found in anyone. And we have the... Let me just read it out. What are those 4 additional qualities? The remaining 4 qualities are found only in Krishna and no one else. not even Vishnu. First one is Leela Madhurya. That means Lord Krishna is the performer of wonderful varieties of pastimes, especially his childhood pastimes. We don't find or we don't read about Vishnu enacting such sweet, wonderful pastimes with his devotees. This quality is only found in Krishna. And we are in the next, starting tomorrow, right? The Kartik month is beginning tomorrow, and this whole month we celebrate this one feature of one specific pastime of Lord Krishna, the pastime of Lord Damodar, where he was bound by ropes by his loving mother Yashoda. So this childhood pastime, especially the pastime of Lord Damodar, is extremely enchanting for his devotees. It captivates the minds and the hearts of all his devotees. This specific feature of enacting such wonderful childhood pastimes is found only in Lord Krishna. Leela Madhurya. One specific quality of Lord Krishna not found in anyone else, not even Vishnu. The second one is called Bhakta Madhurya, which means he is surrounded by devotees endowed with wonderful love of Godhead. Devotees of Krishna are known